take a furlough. And so that's what we did. And so we have been traveling, updating our existing churches, but also in churches like this one, being able to share what God's been doing, a brand new ministry, and raising, Lord willing, support to be able to go back. We are currently at around 93%, and that's what we left the field for 3 years ago. And really, God has blessed. But our ministries that God has given us have, if you could see there, have exploded. With that, it costs far more money than what we were anticipating when we started it. And so pray with us, if you would, that God would give us the partners that He would desire for our ministry. South Africa is a very different country than America, as you can imagine. The animals are awesome. My kids love the animals. No, there are no lions running in the streets. But the animals are neat. The people are amazing. And the reason we're there is to give the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people. We have seen people come to know Jesus Christ. We have been able to disciple them. And we've also seen them come to the church and be added to the church, a church that we just started last October. This morning, our morning started in our service in South Africa at 7 o'clock this morning. And we do it by Zoom every Sunday. And our people are very, very faithful, but they are also, just like we are, very much ready to get back together. And so in God's timing, we will do that. But we have men's and ladies' Bible studies every month. We have every Friday night on Zoom, we have a family night where we have a Bible challenge. We play games on Zoom, and we sing and really just have a sweet time of fellowship. And so praise the Lord for technology. I'm so thankful for that. Imagine even 15, 20 years ago if COVID-19 would have happened and all the chaos. It would have been a different story, or we would have had to make different decisions moving forward. But technology in that regard has been absolutely amazing. Our video said that we had 5 team members. That actually is outdated as of today. The Lord has added another married couple to come team with us. So we have 2 married couples that are there, and we have 3 ladies that are serving. Also, 2 of those ladies are on deputation to come work with us. And one will be a teacher, and one will be a house mom for those. So those 2 ladies came, and it was really, we started our intern program. Our intern program is for young ladies 20 years of age and older, and you must be single. So sorry, ladies, you cannot leave your husband for 3 months. And so we don't want any crying husbands and have to start another ministry stateside for depressed husbands, especially they can't cook for themselves. So, but it is for young ladies. We've had many young ladies come through, and we are grateful what God has done through that ministry when they come over for 3 months. Matter of fact, 2 of those ladies came through that program, and because of that, God called them to the mission field. And so we're equally as excited next year. We are planning on starting a program for young men to be able to come over and train for 3 months. They are going to get inundated and saturated and marinated and any other color aided that you could do on the mission field. We take the kiddie gloves off, and we let them work hard in ministry. We think that is vitally important. And so really the goal is it's for young men who are called to preach, whether it be in missions or pastoral, or for young men who are, look, they are just surrendered to do whatever God had them to do. And if that might be you, a young lady who might be interested in that program, or a young man who might be interested in that program, come talk to my wife, come talk to me. If you're a lady, come talk to Ellie or my wife, and we'd be more than happy to answer any questions that you have. The music that we sang, we actually just did a CD. Not because we're looking at buses and what colors to buy and to travel the country, you know. It was something that we did not plan to do, and it was my wife's idea. We have many projects that we're raising funds for. And we are raising funds currently. We have multiple projects, but for this one, for the CDs that we made, it's going towards a home for abandoned babies on the property that you saw on the video. So we're trying to raise $20,000 for that specific project. 100% of what comes in from those CDs, what is brought in, goes towards being able to build that building for those babies. And so if that is something that interests you, Ellie will be back at our table. It is by donation. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, And if the music ministered to you and you feel like that's something that you would like to take home, we'd be more than happy to help you with that. And so we're thankful for that. South Africa is a land of diversity, to put it mildly. 11 different official dialects in South Africa. And Pastor, I believe your son that was there for 6 years. It is a country not only with the different dialects, but completely different customs. And basically, most of the people groups, it is still very tribal. The only difference is most of them now, some of them wear a suit and a tie. But it is still diversified, and it is still separated, really, into tribal tongue and tribal languages and how they view things religiously. And so we are fortunate that English is the second language to most everybody, not the first, but everybody can speak it pretty much on some level. So we're able to go over there and preach and teach in English, and so that's what our church does. As far as orphans, 3.7 million orphans. And that's really hard because you and I, we can't gauge numbers because 3.7 million, it's just in our heads, it's a big number. And we can't quantify it. The three little boys that we have in our care now, I will just say this. We got a call one night, or one day, about two little boys, 12 months old. They were found laying on a dirt floor in a shack, had flies all over them, they had orange hair from malnutrition. They were so weak at 12 months old. Where's that little girl at that I saw, a little baby that I don't know if she went out or not. How old is that little baby? 6 months old. Can she hold a baby bottle yet? Okay. At 12 months old, you should be able to hold a baby bottle pretty easily. They could not even hold a baby bottle because they were so weak. They could not sit up because they were so weak. We got that call, and we were asked if we would take them, and of course we said yes, and we took them, and they were very, very sick. As a matter of fact, we took them to our own personal doctor over in South Africa, and he said if they would not have been rescued, they would have died very, very quickly. That's the state that we got them in. In the David Livingston, actually, a hospital, it's a state-run hospital over there. And David Livingston, if that rings a bell, he was a missionary in South Africa, and he is still a hero to the people over there today. But what happens out of that hospital, mamas will have their babies. They'll walk out of that hospital, and there's a dumpster right next door to when you come out the door. And many of those mamas will open up the door to that big dumpster and throw their crying baby into that dumpster and walk away out of their lives and treated their babies like they were less than trash. That is the kind of culture that we're dealing with in South Africa. That is why one of the great needs is for a home for abandoned babies. And listen, the ultimate goal is obviously to raise them and to love them and bring them up into the nurture, admiration of the Lord. And that someday, like the two little boys that we have, that God would call young men into the ministry, a South African reaching South Africans for Jesus Christ. The throwaways in society that nobody wants, the people who, they these children who have no human value from their mother, but they do to Jesus. They're priceless to Jesus. And that's our heartbeat, is to take those young children and to love them like Jesus loves them and let them do whatever God has for them to do in their lives. You know what? We need godly mamas and godly young ladies in South Africa. We need to have godly pastors' wives and godly missionary wives in South Africa. If you want to know what the Burgi's heartbeat is, that's it. And so it is a desperate need. And look, I see your wall with all of your missionaries on there. And you know what? All of us could tell of the desperation and the huge need that there is. And we would all be telling the truth. and one is not greater than the other. I would just ask you to pray that God would help us do more to reach South Africans and love them and be able to give them the gospel. And if you'll do that with us, and listen, God will partner whatever churches He wants to partner with our ministry, but we need prayer support. You need both, but you need prayer support. And so please, if you would take one of our prayer cards, we would be honored if you would do that and remember us in prayer. You know, with all these missionaries here, I bet the sun does not set on the ministry that you have here. I tell our supporting churches this, Pastor, I say this, and I mean this from my heart. I have a sending church. It's in North Carolina, Currytown Baptist Church, near Winston-Salem. But the churches that support us by prayer and finances, listen, it is a part, it is their ministry. It is not just the Berge's ministry. It is, listen, to those supporting ministries like you have here, my viewpoint is this. It is their ministry in Port Elizabeth, South Africa. I'm just the extension. I'm the one that gets to get up my hands dirty and my roll up my sleeves and get to go over there and do it. But all your missionaries right here, if you view it as, you know what? This is your church. It is your ministry in these different countries, in these different cities. It'll radically change your view of missions. You'll personalize it. You'll pray for your missionaries more. You see, it is not your these missionaries' ministry. It is your ministry, an extension that has worked through the lives of these individuals. That's missions in a nutshell. All of you can't go. Most of you, if not all of you, won't go. And that's okay, because you're sending missionaries out. Continue to do that. And if there's a time when you're like, you know, I pray for my missionaries, but I got a lot going on, please reconsider that. Because you'll never, never know probably what that missionary is going through, a spiritual warfare or things going on in their life where they desperately need your prayers. I hope that doesn't sound selfish, because I really don't mean it to be selfish. It is a plea. It's important. And so thank you for what you do to your missionaries that you support already and the love that you show them, and keep on keeping on. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to look at a passage, really, that God used in my life. I was, as you saw in our video, I was in the business world. I went to a Bible college, Ambassador Baptist College, met my wife there, had prepared for ministry, but I was not a guy who said, you know what, I want to be a pastor, I want to be a vocational missionary on a foreign field, and I'm just like, God, whatever you want to do with me, just show me what you want me to do. And as times where ministry potentials came up and the Lord closed the door, I started to ask him questions. What's wrong with me? And I got busy in the business world, and my wife and I, we were busy serving the Lord just like you guys are serving the Lord, and we were sold out in whatever ministries that we could. But my wife and I always say, there's got to be more. We were always looking for more. And as I was going up the corporate ladder in Raleigh, North Carolina, for about 6 months, really the Holy Spirit started working in my heart about missions. Now, my wife would laugh at that. My wife always wanted to go to the mission field. I was not a guy, Pastor, that wanted to go to the mission field. You really want to know, Pastor, where I did not want to go? Africa. Now, I wasn't one of these guys, listen, I've read the Bible. I know how it ends when you tell God, no, I won't do this. Because it doesn't end real pretty. You heard of Jonah? Yeah, I really wasn't in the mood for that. Now, I know a man, a true story, that has been swallowed by a whale. This is not a lie. This is not a matter of fact, it was a guy I bought my van from in South Africa. And he literally was swallowed by a whale. And he must not have tasted good because it spit him right back out. And it's on video. If you look up on YouTube, man swallowed by a whale in South Africa, you'll see this man. He's German. And he does videography for Shark Week. Have you ever heard of that? Yeah, he's the guy that drives the boat and takes those people all those crazy places. That is in my backyard. Not literally, but it's in the water in my backyard. So look, I wasn't a guy who said, no, God, I will not do this. But I was a guy that said, God, I really don't want to do this. Anybody ever been like that before? Nobody's going to be honest. I'm the only one. So that was my attitude. God, I will be a youth pastor. God, I will be a pastor. God, I you want to send me to Fiji? I'll go to Fiji. I'd even go to Alaska. My wife wouldn't go with me. Smart lady. But you know, it's amazing. And I mean, when I was dead serious, there's two places on the planet I never wanted to go. I never wanted to go to the Middle East for any reason. I don't know too many people who are booking family vacations to go to Baghdad. Like, oh, do we go to Disney World or oh, let's go to Baghdad? Yes! You know, and the kids getting all excited. They got to have great rides there. Don't push the button on the bomb, no. Nobody is waiting to do that. And the second place, as honest can be, and my wife can tell you this, was Africa. Now, how many hunters do we have here? Anybody like to hunt? Not hunt for sales, ladies. Animals, all right? I am a very casual hunter. Like, I've hunted twice in the last 25 years. That's pretty casual. But I wasn't a guy who wanted to go on a safari hunt, you know, and take down the big trophy animal. And so here Africa is. And God starts burdening me on my way into work and on my way home from work. And the longer it went, and I prayed, the more I became burdened more and more. I didn't say anything to my wife. So the day I went home, my wife, when I knew that God was calling us to the mission field, got home, I said, hey, honey, I need you to sit down. Pastor, that's never a good thing to say to your wife. What did you do now? She sat down, a little concerned look on her face. I said, don't worry, I didn't do anything wrong. And I said, honey, God's calling me to the mission field. And she cried and wept. No, she didn't cry and she didn't weep. She jumped up and down and was incredibly excited. And that was the start of our journey to go to South Africa. Brent Berge could not possibly change his own heart to go to Africa. But when God's involved and you are completely willing, you say, God, use me. You know what? Only God could have changed the heart of a man to long to go to a place that he had never been and to have a burden for a people that he's never met. Don't be afraid to let God change your heart. Don't have a heart that is so calloused and is so stone cold. You may think that that's an easier way out. But preacher, I'm sure you know people just like I do that were called into the ministry and told God no. And pastor, they're the most miserable people. They're more miserable than unsaved people. They're the most miserable people on the planet. When you tell God no, it makes you miserable. And so whatever you do, follow God. I was in my late 30s when I surrendered when God called us to the mission field. Don't think if you're in your 30s, your 40s, or whatever that is, that you're too old to do what God's called you to do. Because what he calls you to, he equips you for it. So James chapter 1, verse 27 is a verse that God has used in my life. And the verse is this: pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the true privilege we have to be with you tonight. God, I ask simply this. We would not leave here tonight the same as when we came in here before the service. Not because of the man, not because of any person, not because of the name of the church, but because of who you are and the work that you desire to do in our lives. Lord, help us to all the distractions that we have about work this week, all the distractions about anything going on or what we're going to do after church, for a few minutes here, help us to give our minds and our hearts to you. Help us to be tender to whatever you'd have in Jesus' name. Amen. Any runners here in our building? Anybody like to run? All right, I see that hand. This is not a invitation time. So I see a couple. I'm going to pick on you. You like to run. Are you a distance runner? Are you a sprinter? Oh, bless your heart. I can sprint to the refrigerator. That's about as far as I can get. As you can tell, I'm pretty good. But, Pastor, because I'm just making up this analogy, we might as well make it good. Pastor, I am going to challenge you to a 5K race tomorrow morning. And sounds good, right? Yeah, it gets better. So as I challenge Pastor to a 5K race, listen, I know the physical specimen that I am, which isn't much. Certainly I can beat your pastor. And you know what? I bet your pastor is a competitive fella. Is he a competitive fella? I bet he just like, I'm going to tear that missionary apart. Man, I'm going to send him back to South Africa before he's supposed to go back to... Anna and Mark gets that going. We go and we go and we go and we go. And you know what? Because I'm making up this story, we are really fast. I mean, we are all in. And you pull ahead, then I pull ahead. Then you pull ahead, then I pull ahead. And you're giving me dirty looks, and I'm giving you dirty looks, and we're snarling. The one thing that I'm assured of, whoever won, and I'm gonna give it up to your pastor because I like him, and he beats me by a hair because I have no hair. But he beats me. He beats me in the finish line, and, you know, he's humble. And he just kind of has that look and says, I told you, missionary. But the problem is, and I can almost guarantee this, brother, you and me, we'd be a sweaty mess by the time we were done. But good news, you see, after the race, see, I have a plan. So I go to your pastor and I say, Pastor, I've got something for you. And I pull out a glass of ice water. The dew is dripping down. I mean, how many of you like that? You're sweaty. There is nothing like a big, cold glass of ice water. And I give it to your pastor, and he's like, you know, you're a pretty good sport at this. I said, well, I try. God's humbling me. And he gets ready to take a drink of this water, and all of a sudden he gets to hear, and he stops. And he looks in the glass, and to his shock, in the ice, there are flies frozen in the ice. There is scum on the inside of the glass, and there are more floaties going on in that thing than if you swap drinks with a 12-month-old baby. He looks at me like, ha ha, real funny there, Brent. No thanks, but I'll get my own water. I'm like, I'm just teasing. I got to get some enjoyment out of this. And then I pull out another glass of ice water. Your pastor says, I might be dumb, but I'm not stupid. I'm not taking that water. I said, Pastor, honest, just try it. So he takes that glass of ice water, dew is dripping down it, and he's looking real carefully. But Pastor, this time the water, it's pure, it's clean, and it's refreshing. Tonight, when we look at pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: what kind of religion are you giving to God tonight? Is it the one that's the first one and your religion is like bugs frozen in ice? You've got scum on the inside of the walls and you have floaties in it. Are you trying to give that to God and say, you know what? This is the religion, God, I give to you. Or do you offer Him something that is pure, that is clean, that is refreshing, something that you would want? But unfortunately, I think many Christians give God the first class. And you know what they say spiritually? Deal with it. This is all I'm willing to give you, God. And for something we wouldn't dare to partake of, we expect God to partake of it Himself. God is holy. He is pure. He is just. He demands holiness from others. But He gives no less of it than what He offers Himself. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. And now look, this next part that we're going to look at, I've often wondered out of all the things that God could have put in this verse, because He is God, there are two things He puts here. He says to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Now, if I'm God, there are a lot of things that I can think of. If I'm talking about pure religion, that would not have been in my top 10 list of things to do. But God says here, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father says, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. So we ask ourselves, why did God put that in His Word? This is why, because when we're talking about pure religion, and we're talking about impure religion. You know, in our flesh, who are we most concerned with? Me. Did everybody eat today? Did you make sure when you were hungry you ate? Did you dress yourself today? Do you have dinner planned out already or breakfast tomorrow? You have your cups of coffee already planned out? Listen, we focus a lot on me. In the flesh, we're consumed with it. In our unrighteousness, in our unrighteous religion, that's all we care about. In the spirit, when we're talking about pure religion, you know what? The two people, traditionally, historically, that nobody cares about is an orphan and a widow. Do you know why? Because that takes effort. It doesn't come natural to us unless it's pure. What God also says here, to visit. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, and I don't pretend to be one. But if it says, I've got to go visit them, that means they're not coming to me. That is a call to action that I must go to them in ministry. Have you ever seen the signs up there in some church that I've seen? You are now entering the mission field. As a church and as an individual, the majority of ministry was never meant to happen within the walls of a church building. It was meant to happen outside. It takes effort. It takes a purity in our religion to do that. Because in our flesh we make excuses, we make reasons, we make ourselves busy, you name it, we can come up with reasons why we can't minister to others. An orphan, traditionally, nobody cares about. They're the cast off, the embarrassment of society. In South Africa, that's what happens. They don't want to even acknowledge the problem in South Africa. But it's there. It's the scourge of most societies. But it's there. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, that last word, they're afflicted. And you can put any name there. There are people that are afflicted all over this world. COVID-19 has been horrendous. Globally. But Pastor, I know a disease far worse than COVID-19. It affected and has affected every man, every woman, every child that has ever existed. And it's the disease of sin. It has taken out more people than any disease combined. The only cure. And praise the Lord, it's an instant cure. And it is the best cure that has ever come out. Better than any vaccine that will ever come out. Listen, and that is Jesus Christ. You want the answer to COVID-19? Listen, we talk about 200,000 plus people who have died. And maybe you know somebody who has passed away. And it's real, okay? I don't mitigate that it's reality. But listen, the 200,000 plus people, how often do we think about that was a lost and dying soul that went to eternity without really the cure of their true disease, the disease of sin? We want our rights. We want this. We want that. Listen, if our religion is pure, we care about somebody's soul more than we care about them even physically, though we should care about both. Who is going to tell an orphan about Jesus Christ? Who is going to tell a widow who nobody cares about Jesus Christ? I'll go. Will you go? Will you go to your neighbor? Will you go to your loved one? Will you go to your coworker and everyone that the Holy Spirit convicts you of? Will you tell them about Jesus? Is your religion pure enough to where you'll take it to Him? Or is it just something we do? We give God the floaties. We give Him the impurities. Thanks God for saving my soul, but I've had enough. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and the next part of this, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How many of you think the election this year is an important election in American history? Raise your hand. How many of you believe that God already has it figured out who's going to win in November? Do you know, as important as it is, and it is important, and we should biblically vocalize, but you know what? On November 4th, my calling hasn't changed whoever wins or loses an election. It may get harder. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus walked the earth, their government was the Jews were occupied by a foreign force named the Romans. The Jews hated the Romans. They despised them. The Jews saw their loved ones and their friends, some of them hung on a cross, beaten, scourged, thrown into prison. Do you know what Jesus did? He focused on not Rome. What did Jesus focus on? He focused on what he was called to do. To live a sinless life. To share who he was. He was the Messiah. To finish a work of dying on the cross, raising again, shed every drop of blood for your sin and my sin. You see, folks, we have if we're not careful, we have a focus problem. With the distractions over here and the distractions over here, listen, the calling has not changed in 2,000 years. The calling is still strong. It is still firm from the commander and chief, the real commander and chief, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His vision has not changed. It will not change until he comes back. The focus is on lost people, telling them who he is, leading them to the Lord, discipling them, training them. The Great Commission is what we ought to be focused on. And I will say this, if we spend more time thinking and worrying about politics than we do about lost people that we know, it's wrong. If you're willing to vocalize your political statement more so than you are your religious statement of who you are and who your King of Kings is, it's wrong. Where's your focus tonight? It's part of a pure religion, folks. Why? Because he says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The more we get gunked up with the world, listen, why would the world want anything to do with me if I am acting and reacting just like they do? This is, for me, it is the darkest I have ever seen America. America doesn't need another Christian to partner with them in darkness. It needs a body of believers. It needs the church, the bride of Christ, to shine brighter than it ever has before. And if we use the same tactics, the same emotions, is what a lost and dark world does, how will they see a difference? They can't. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. I'm grieved for America. God is grieved for America. But do you know where else he's grieved? In a country like South Africa, Europe, Asia. Everywhere. And if we're not careful, folks, do you know what we do? I have noticed this and I have struggled with this. The mission field has taught me a lot of things. One of the things that it has taught me is, you know what? If I wasn't careful, I Americanized the Bible. Which means I'm like, okay, God wrote this for America. You know, the verses here, well, you know what? It must all be about American Christians. And then when I got to South Africa, a 45% unemployment rate. In the townships, 85% unemployment rate. How do you talk to them about a retirement plan? How do you talk to them about a vacation? Or a new car or a boat? How do you explain the love of Jesus when, oh, all these things in America, but why doesn't Jesus do this for me? Does he love America more than he loves South Africans? They use the same King James Bible. There's nothing wrong with retirement. There's nothing wrong with some of the things that we can have in life. But don't ever get the misconception that it's America is God's chosen people. God has blessed America in an amazing way. You know what? God blesses people in China that are Christians. You're the ones in the underground church who are scared for their lives. He loves Russian Christians. He loves Christians that we will never even hear about until we get to glory. And I do believe, Pastor, we're going to meet people in heaven that God just used in amazing ways. They never wrote a book. They were never on TV. They were never on a radio program. Never had a church of 10,000 people. But they were sold out, lit up on fire with their passion and their love for the one who loved them first, Jesus. Folks, tonight, the religion, God, this is what I'm offering you. Is it pure? Is it clean? And is it refreshing to your King? Let's bow for prayer. Father, time that we've had, the music that we have sung, but if we leave here unchanged, that's not good. Lord, maybe there's someone here tonight, they've given God some, but they haven't given God what He wants. They've offered Him something, but Lord, they are holding back. And God, they know they're not giving You something that is clean, that is pure, and that is refreshing. Help us to be honest tonight. In Jesus' name.